Do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Oh yeah. It's the Prime and Hour. We're back again. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's the Empowerment Hour. We're recapturing African of Mine, Dr. Bruce, and the crew. Y'all come on with me now. Call a friend. We're going online lecture series again. This is our online classroom. Let's get going, y'all. Come on. Hey. Better love. Oh, yeah. Better love. There is no better love than for self and kind. I will say that again. It's African American empowerment. There is no greater love than for self and kind. And what people need love for self and kind other than our people, right? No matter where you are, around the country or around the world, if you have African ancestry, right? If you are from African descent around the United States, right? We need love. We need love for self. We need love for self and kind. And what better way? What better way to do it than to have a series just for you to help you to understand our history and our culture, to bring it all together. We're going to have Dr. Bruce on in just a few minutes. But we're talking about recapturing the African mind, and we're doing a series on it. Today, we're talking about the natural creation. So we're going to go back as far as we can. Dr. Bruce is going to bring that information to us. But first, let's talk about the National African American Empowerment Association. I'll say that again. National African American Empowerment Association. That means we're working toward empowering African Americans, black people, us in America that has, again, the history and the lineage of American chattel slavery, right? What are we going to do? We're going to empower our people. So the mission of the National African American Empowerment Association is to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met wherever we are. This is through the development of programs and services that support, inspire, motivate, and empower each member, each person, right? We will collaborate and partner with each other, working together in these five critical areas. We call it the peace concept. The peace concept is five critical pieces that we all need to strive and survive in this country and in this climate and in this society. Here we go. Peace. Politics. A political agenda. Oh, we need it. You got to understand the politics where you live, right? And you have to have effective strategies, political strategies to help our people, right? To support our people, to build up our communities, right? We're living in this society, so we need that. We need a political agenda wherever you are. If you're in the 50 states, you need a political agenda. If you're a person of color, wherever you are, you have to have a political agenda for your people, right? Also, it's E. That's economics. We need an economic platform and an economic agenda that really speaks to how we teach, train, and develop our people in terms of money and fiscal management. Got to learn how to manage money. You do. In the land of milk and honey, you better learn how to manage that money. Got to learn how to manage that paper. You got to learn how to get it, spend it, retain it, invest it, and even earn it. Right? So that's what we're talking about, right? How to develop businesses, right, that can employ our people. Who else will be a better employer of our people than ourselves, creating economic opportunities for us? The next one is A. This is very critical. Athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You better have a good athletic game, right? I ain't talking about being an athlete. I'm talking about taking care of your physical, mental, and emotional health, right? Pulling back from the table, eating healthy foods that are right for your body. Right? The mental health, the physical health, the emotional health, right? Being able to take care of your mind. That's what it's all about. You got to take care of ourselves, and we got to learn how to do that better. What are you eating? Are you working out? Are you going for a walk? Are you eating the right foods? Your dietary habits, right? Are you pushing away from those products that's going to make us sick? Those are the things that we have to learn how to practice to do. Next, it is culture. relevant cultural activities and programs to help teach, train, and develop us to be the best that we can be, that we can be proud of who we are, even here now and with our ancestry and our history. We got to come up to date on knowing who we are. You got to know who you are, and you have to be proud. Again, our young people have to be proud of who we are, chin out, chest up, ready to go, ready to compete. And we have to give them the tools necessary to strive and survive in this climate. We've got to give them the confidence that they need in themselves, and the organizations and the structures and the institutions that we develop must do that for us and for ourselves. And lastly is education, a comprehensive education that always ongoing from the time you're born and to the time that you go into the ground, that's helping to enhance us, helping to grow us, helping to inspire us, helping us to become the best that we can be, healing from the trauma, and become the best that we can be, because that's what it's all about. It's all about African-American empowerment. Again, I thank you for joining us. The number to call if you want to talk to Dr. Bruce later on is 845-277-9250. We will have a question and answer period. And now we'll go over to our Stan Macklin moment. And for y'all that don't know, Stan Macklin was a co-host of mine for many years and a good friend. And so we honor him with just this moment.
Man. The deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
You all know that we need institutions that define our own reality. We need institutions that's going to help us to become better, institutions that help us heal, help us grow, help us to reestablish ourselves. Those institutions have to help us get better, help us grow, help us change, help us to learn about ourselves, help us to become confident. Those are the things that we need. We really do. And all I'm asking you to do is join the NAAEA. There's no membership fees. All you got to do is say, I'm making a commitment to African-American empowerment. Go out to our website, www.naaea.weebly.com. Check out the platform. That's all I'm asking you to do. And now it's time for Brother George. Brother George, bring you in right. Oh, yeah. We ain't going nowhere. Brother George.
Good afternoon, brother. Good afternoon to everybody that's listening in today. I love today's topic. It's, man, it's going to be powerful, brother.
All right. So before we get started, you know, you and I have talked before, and we've talked to Dr. Bruce, but why do you think it's important for us to have this Recapturing the African Mind series?
Well, the reason why I think it's, the reason why I know it's important is because, one, here's the scientific-minded people over here in the hells of North America, and our children don't know it. We're laughing at our names, you know, we're uneducated to the things that we have accomplished. We have the wrong picture in our minds when we say the word Africa. And we have to change that picture, because words draw pictures for you. And that's how we best learn. That's how come in ancient Egypt, you might have one symbol that means a whole paragraph. And that's the way that we learned as a people, through symbols. So those symbols were to put a thought in your mind. And right now, our people, most of our people in the Americas, have the wrong picture of what being African looks like. And just because we were defeated at war, that doesn't, everybody gets defeated. It's time to rise up now. It's time to quit, you know, crying about how, you know, can I get some food stamps? Can I get this? Can I get that? Of course, if we're in bad shape and we need it, That's fine. However, we should always be thinking of a way that we can get us and our children out of that condition where we're relying on other people and other people's cultures to recognize ourselves as being a people. Now, when Dr. Bridges speaks today, what he's going to do is he's going to create an image in your mind of the topic, the African mind and the natural creation. Man, that is an amazing thought that we were the first people on the planet to observe the planet and then create a system out of it, mathematical system out of it, chemistry systems out of it. We were the people that did that. No one else. And there's no such thing as more than one first. So you can't go and say, well, this scientist Galileo did. It was someone who did that long before he did it, because he went to the university to learn about the stars, to learn about physics. He didn't come up with the system. He learned about it. And so, brother, that's why it's important. Our children need to have an idea in their minds of what they have accomplished. And then they will take on the duty of continuing to accomplish those things instead of having a negative concept, a negative self-concept. So, brother, that's my view on why we need to be listening today. And I'm hoping that there's thousands of us on this line. Because anyone that you know, please, this is free. This is free information. Tell a friend, y'all. Tell a friend. So that's me, Brother Marvin.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Call a friend right now. Tell them we're on live. Our online classroom is about to get started. Call or text somebody. And listen, you don't have to wait for Black History Month to come around. It's 365 days with us. It's education as a part of that. So get ready. Get your popcorn ready. Get your map out, because he's going to be pinpointing some stuff. Get a pen, get a pad, get your iPad, whatever you need, because we're getting ready to go into our online classroom. And again, call a friend. It's the African mind, right, that we're trying to recapture. So it's the African mind and the natural creation. So we're going to bring in Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce, welcome to the show. How are you? Dr. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, sir, brother. Hold chap. Believe it or not, I was on my other line calling another person to tell me to tune in.
All right.
And I'm sure you probably got some people that already online probably ready to go, aren't you?
Well, like I played earlier, the deck is packed. The deck is packed.
Oh, it is?
So, yes, it is. So the lines are full. Go ahead, sir.
And lines are full, and go ahead.
Yeah. And so, again, we're going to do the lecture series, and then we'll have time for Q&A. Again, write the number down, 845-277-9250. If you're just listening online, you can always ask a question. And today, we're going to ask our sisters to call in, right, because we want everybody to be involved. If you want to talk to Dr. Bruce, or if you want to ask a question or get some clarity, we're going to have our Q&A. So we're going to get started right now, and I turn it over to you, Dr. Bruce.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Marvin. And I want to give a shout-out to all my listeners who I called earlier and didn't get a chance to send out emails like I did week before last, but some of them might be on the phone and might remember it that I'm back again this week. But I did call quite a few people today, and some of my former students, a sister from up in Bun, North Carolina, Sister Maxine, and another brother by the name of Derek Patterson, who's another student of mine at the Apex School of Theology, and hopefully they're tuned in, and call some other people and have them tune in. And we're going to begin chapter one of my book. So you tuned in at a good time. You just missed an introduction last week, but we're going to do chapter one of my book, Recapturing the African Mind. I want to thank Brother George for the introduction also in terms of him bringing me on, because I had another brother on the phone while he was teaching, and I told him, he said, that brother's really going. I said, that's Brother George. That's my minister opening up for me. So I was glad to hear from Brother George. So thank you, Brother George and Brother Marvin. But anyway, just to briefly go back over a few things that we discussed on last week, just a little review. Last week I did an introduction to the book. I talked about some of the things that I've seen in different parts of the world that actually show that we're out of our minds. And when I say we're out of our minds, I mean people of African descent today in the United States, in Africa, and I repeat, in Africa included, and other parts of the world, we don't have our natural minds. We have minds that have been given to us and imposed upon us by our colonizers, by our teachers and our trainers. And whether or not it's in Africa, whether it's in the Caribbean, whether it's in North America, South America, anywhere in the world that you see. And that's why I asked Brother Marvin to have some of you to pull out some maps, because I'm going to be talking about several places in the world today. But for example, last week we talked about how on the island of Jamaica, where the temperature is about 90 degrees or above year-round, people in December are singing chestnuts roasting on open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, and I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Clearly, we're out of our minds. Clearly, we're not thinking properly. And that's why I want my students today, those who are tuned in, I'm calling you students because a student is one who's learning and one who's growing in their thinking. I want you to do something that most of you have never done, and that is to think. I want you to think. We look at the fact that that happened in Jamaica, and we also look at the fact that in Zimbabwe, southern Africa, people celebrate the northern European traditions of Santa Claus in Zimbabwe. This is also due to the conquering and the colonizing of our minds by European people. And in America today, we do the same thing because we have not separated ourselves from our European culture and heritage, and we are not familiar with the fact that we are following foreign practices, alien practices in this society in which we live. So we have to go back and try to get our natural minds. And that's what I'm going to deal with today. And I'm taking my time because I'll be here this week, and week after next I'll be doing the next part. But in chapter one of my book, I start off with a statement from Bob Marley, and that statement says that there's a natural mystic blowing through the air. If you listen carefully, you will hear. And I talk about the fact that prior to humankind on the face of this planet, prior to European people on this planet, prior to African people, prior to any human species on this planet, any Homo sapiens, there were other manifestations of creation. If you look in your Bible, or if you look into your Quran, if you happen to study the Quran, or if you look into your Torah, which is the Old Testament, you will find that the celestial spheres, or the spheres above our head, the heavenly spheres, the celestial spheres, as you all know who are tuned in, I like to define words so we know what we're talking about. So when we say the celestial, we're talking about the heavens above, meaning the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, and everything that's around us. So the celestial sphere and the terrestrial sphere, the terrestrial sphere, T-E-R-R-E-S-T-R-I-A, the terrestrial sphere, the one that we walk upon, or the earth, the terrestrial sphere underneath our feet and the celestial sphere above our heads were already in existence. And these manifestations in the world of nature provided the mind with a laboratory in which we could grow and develop. Now, what do you mean, Dr. Bridges? I'm talking about the fact that it says in your Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, had no form, and void, meaning empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But then the Creator, in his magnificent mind, created everything that's around us before any human beings were here, which means that if you look in your Bible, the last thing that was created was human beings, the sun, the moon, the stars. Let there be light. There was light. Light prevails. But the last thing that was put upon this planet were people, human beings. Why was this important? This was important so that the human mind could have something for it to grow upon, for it to develop upon, for it to enhance itself. It had to have something to feed upon. So it fed upon the sun, the moon, the stars, the rivers, the lakes, the islands, the archipelagos, the other geographic forms that are on the earth and in the air, the birds, the bees, the insects. All these things were put here before human beings so that our minds could grow. I hope you all are listening. So I want you to imagine an earth with nothing at all in terms of human life. And when the human life was put here, it was put into a laboratory so that our minds could grow. Our minds were put into a laboratory. And this is the first book that was ever written. Before any Bibles, any Qurans, before any teachings of Ptahotep, before any teachings of ancient manuscripts were written, the first book that was written was the book that we call the natural creation. And that's where our minds began to grow from. And everything else emanated from that. Gerald Massey talks about it, and Gerald Massey, as a good friend of mine, I hope he's tuned in tonight, not tonight, today, Dr. Rogers, he says, be sure to give some sources, but Gerald Massey, a British historian, Massey, M-A-S-S-E-Y, to those who might want to look it up a little later, Gerald Massey talks about the fact that through many years of research, he traced the lore, the mythology, and symbolism of religion and gives credit for its origin and evolution to the developing minds which emerged from inner Africa. And when you read Gerald Massey's three-volume work, The Natural Genesis, Volume 1 and Volume 2, when you read his Book of Beginnings, Volume 1 and Volume 2, and Ancient Egypt, Light of the World, he talks about the fact that there was no geological formation on the whole surface of this earth that could have been better adapted for the purpose of taking the nomads as they drifted down the Ethiopic highlands into the valley that embraced them to hold them fast and keep them there, hemmed in by deserts and mountains with no outlet except for sailors, and compressed them until the disintegrating tendencies of this nomadic life had spent their dispersing force and gave them the shaping squeeze of birth that molded them into civilized men. What are you talking about here, Dr. Massey? Dr. Massey is saying that that this whole earth was a geographic formation from which our minds could grow. And he says that divinest foresight could have found no fitter, F-I-T-T-R. He said divinest, meaning the divine. Divinest foresight could not have found no fitter cradle for the youthful race, no more quickening birthplace for the early mind of man. He said there was no mouthpiece more adapted for utterance to the whole world. He's talking about Africa. He said it was literally a cradle by reason of the narrow limits, 700 miles in length by 7 wide, fruitful and fertile for man and beast. Life was easy there from the first. He says that in inner Africa, where human beings originated, they began to study everything that was around them. They saw the Nile overflowing at a certain time of the year, so they were able to develop the calendar. They saw the sun rising at a certain time with absolute consistency every morning at the same time. They saw they saw the sun setting at the same time every evening. And so they began to develop the seasons and the changing of the seasons and to discuss the weather and those kinds of things. It was in this environment that the human mind was actually quickened and was able to develop. So we found out that it was in this area of Africa that it all started. All of the sciences, brothers and sisters, all of the biology, all of the botany or plant science, all of the anatomy, all of the gravity and physics and aeronautics and engineering, everything that the human being has brought from his mind today actually started with African people studying the natural creation. I do a lecture called The African Origins of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, or STEM, as we call it, and I trace that back. That's another lecture for another time. But the point is that it was because of what was put around us that we were able to develop many of the sciences and arts and engineering and drama and other things that we have today. The natural world, it had to come from the natural world. And where did it come from? It came from Kemet, K-H-E-M-E-T, Kemet. As we sometimes know as Egypt, Kemet. Observation of the natural environment formed the foundation of ancient science and invention. This can be seen in the Hermetic Law. Some of y'all are familiar with the Law of Hermes, and those who are not, you can look it up at a later date. The Law of Hermes, H-E-R-M-E-S, I repeat, Hermes, H-E-R-M-E-S. And the Hermetic Law states that as is above, so is below, and as is without, so is within. Let me repeat that. As is above, so is below. And as is without, so is within. When early humans arrived on this planet, speech, they had no use of sounds. They knew nothing at all. But the mind had to grow and had to develop. So when we saw apples and coconuts and pears falling off of the vines of trees and saw birds falling from their nests and their eggs falling, we saw it happening over and over and over, and we began to understand that the heavier objects fell faster to the earth than did the lighter objects. So over time, the human mind studied and developed and came up with what we call gravity. After seeing it so much in the natural creation, it started in the natural creation. And as a matter of fact, after that began to happen, we started to write down what we saw. And in order to write down what we saw, Africans probably wrote with pointed sticks before they observed that a feather or the quill was a sharper and a more practical writing tool. And if you look up the Latin word for quill, which we know many years ago, which was the feather of a bird. Quill, the Latin word for quill is penna, P-E-N-N-A, penna. And penna, from the word penna, you get pencil or pen, you see. From the word penna, or the Latin for quill, the feather of a bird, you get pencil or pen. As the bird was observed rubbing its beak on its feathers, to cause the downward flow of oil, and you all have seen birds do that. They'll rub their feathers with their beaks, and what they're really doing is lubricating their bodies. And the African mind was inspired to gather liquid from plants and put that liquid into a feather, and thus the Africans began to write. We began to write because we observed the bird swiping his beak over his feathers, and many of you have seen them do that. What they're doing, I repeat, is lubricating their bodies with the oil that's flowing down through their feathers. And we saw this, and we recognized that if we put oil or liquid into a feather or a quill or a pen, we could write with it. And so this is why the first pencil was the feather of a bird. Observations of something as tiny and insignificant in appearance as an insect inspired Africans to invent paper. The papyrus plant that grew along the banks of the Nile were churned with water and pounded in the same manner in which hornets build their nests. And after molding and drying, paper was produced. So everything that you see that's produced from the mind of human beings came from the minds of African people along the banks of the longest river on earth, the Nile River, about 4,000 miles long. This is where it came from. We, early on the stage of civilization, and we began to take papyrus plant from which you get the word paper, papyrus. Take that papyrus plant or the papyrus plant, and we began to write on it with the quill of a bird. But what we wrote on the papyrus plant with the quill or the feather of the bird came from what we had seen in the natural creation. I'm trying to give it to you, brothers and sisters, and I'm taking my time. It's a lot of information here, but I'm trying to give it to you because these are some of the kinds of things that you would never get in a class in science or mathematics in traditional Western academia. So Kim, or we have to look at the comedic origins of Greek intellectual development. Early Greek philosophers, let me make it very clear, brothers and sisters, that we oftentimes quote the Socrates, the Plato, the Anaximander, when we quote Pythagoras, and when we quote these other Greeks, because they are the ones who took control and began to write history, which we'll get to later. But these early Greek philosophers, such as Thales and Pythagoras, who are widely credited with the origin of certain philosophical and mathematical principles, such as the Pythagorean theorem, traveled to Africa. And that's where they received their tutelage, from ancient African scholars. And this is on page 33 of my book, Recapturing the African Mind. People who might have the book, who are in class with the book, might have it. Page 33 of Recapturing the African Mind. And I talk about the fact, and my good friend Dr. Rogers said, be sure to give sources and give your research so people can know where to find this and know that you're not making up. According to the Thomas Taylor translation on the life of Pythagoras, the white writer, Thomas Taylor, who translated a book called The Life of Pythagoras, he admitted that, Thomas Taylor, in his book on the life of Pythagoras, Thales admitted having gone to Egypt himself and instructed Pythagoras to do the same. Thales went to Egypt first, then he instructed Pythagoras to go to do the same and to study. And while and that's on page 6 of Thomas Taylor's book, Jamblichus, The Life of Pythagoras, on page 6 by Thomas Taylor, Jamblichus, Life of Pythagoras, on page 6. He says that while in Africa, Pythagoras, and you know, brothers and sisters, of those who are tuned in, we always talk about the Pythagorean theorem, a squared plus b squared equals c squared. What you're really doing is solving for the length of the legs of a right triangle. The oldest triangle that any of us know about is the one that we call pyramids in ancient Kemet. They have some in America, too. That's another story. But we're talking about the ones in Kemet now. But Pythagoras traveled to ancient Kemet and studied from the ancient African scholars. And according to Zambilicus, while in Africa, he did not superficially study all that the Egyptians had to offer, but he spent, now listen to this now, and I'm quoting from Thomas Taylor's book, The Life of Pythagoras. He says that Pythagoras spent, and I quote, therefore, 2 and 20 years in Egypt. Let me repeat that. According to Thomas Taylor, Pythagoras, who we give credit for the origins of the Pythagorean theorem, where you're trying to research the length of the legs of a right triangle. In a math class, we call it what? A squared plus B squared equals C squared. He says that Pythagoras, therefore, spent 2 and 20 years in Egypt. 22 years in the idata of temples, astronomizing and geometrizing. He was studying astronomy and geometry in the temples of Egypt in Africa for 22 years, and not in a superficial manner, as Taylor says, but he did it in a and not in a casual manner, but he studied very intensely for many of those years, page 8 and page 9 of Zambilicus. So I wanted to show you here how the ancient Egyptians had already built the pyramids, so they had to know about A squared plus B squared plus C squared. How did they build the pyramids? They had seen pyramids all throughout the environment. If you look into the human body, a very important body, I mean muscle in the human being is the deltoid muscle, D-E-L-T-O-I-D, the deltoid muscle, which is your shoulder blade muscle, and it's shaped just like a triangle. And that particular muscle was found in the human being because what you have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that what you see, as Hermes said, what's above, so is below. What's without, what's within. Everything that you see on this earth can also be found in the human body. The zinc, the cobalt, the sulfur, the various minerals, and sometimes we have to take supplements, but it's just a reflection of the human body, which is another story. But we have to understand this, and that so is above, so is below, so is without, so is within. The earth is three-fourths water and one-fourth land. The human body is pretty much the same thing, three-fourth, one-fourth. The earth has 196,940,000 square miles, the square miles of the earth. The earth has 57,205,000 square miles of water that surrounds 139,685,000 square miles of land on earth, the water and land on the surface of the earth. So we're just a replica of what the Creator has put out here. So, Brother Marvin, I could go on. I think we want to take a little break or take some questions, but I just wanted to talk about how everything started from the natural creation, and even George Washington Carver, one of our great scientists, he understood this, and this is how it is that he was able to come up with so many of those inventions and the things that he came up with because of studying the natural creation. He didn't believe in having his students to sit in the classrooms at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama under Booker T. Washington. Dr. Carver believed in taking those students out into the environment, out into the natural world, and let them feast their mind upon what he called the infinity, upon what God had put around us to grow our minds, and not to be fascinated by what we read in the books Alice and Jerry and Dick and Jane, but feed your mind on the natural creation. But we have been given unnatural minds today. We've been given artificial minds today, and that's why we have to recapture our minds. I got my scaffold. I got my thread. I might cut you open, but we're gonna sew you back up. But we got to cut away a lot of this foolishness that we've been taught over the many years about certain things in the society. We've been taught a lot of foolishness, and we need to cut it away and go back and recapture our minds.
All right. Thank
so,
you,
Brother
Dr.
Marvin.
Bruce. Beautiful, beautiful. So before we go to the lines, again, you just laid out the natural creation that our ancestors evolved into all of these different things that we now know. Why is it important for the listener to understand today the historical aspect of what our ancestors created and founded?
Well, first of all, it's like Brother Maliki said a couple of weeks ago when you had, Brother Maliki from the East, and I hope he's tuned in today, too. I didn't get a chance to contact him. But anyway, he made the statement that he read a book called Malcolm X on Afro-American History. And in that particular book, Malcolm makes a statement. He says that history should be one of our most attractive studies. History should be one of our most attractive studies because history develops the springs, S-P-R-I-N-G-S, the springs and motives of human action. When you know what you were, what you have been, then that gives you inspiration to do something in the world today. But when all you know is that you worked on the plantations in Richmond, Virginia, when all you know is what happened, 1619 Project and nothing before then you're not inspired to do much of anything. But when you know that your ancestors were the ones who developed arts and sciences, as I talk about in chapter one, I'm still with the book, in chapter one, as Count Volney said, these Africans of the Nile developed all of the astrological signs and everything that we know about. The Ethiopian of Thebes saw the Nile overflowing at a certain time of the year, and he called those stars that came out when the Nile overflowed. He called those stars the stars of Aquarius. He called those stars that came out when the Nile overflowed Aquarius, you see. And he noticed that when the lion went up to the top of the mountain at a certain time of the year, when the lion came out and began to get water from the Nile as it overflowed, the lion, there were certain stars in the sky at that time, and he called some of those stars Leo. And then when the goat would travel to the top of the mountain trying to seek food, that goat would travel to the top of the mountain. There was a certain group of stars, so they called those stars Capricorn, or the stars of the goat. So he says, thus, Count Volney, now I'm quoting Constantine Francis Volney, born in 1757. He says, thus, the Ethiopian of Thebes named the stars of inundation or Aquarius, those stars under which the Nile began to overflow, stars of the ox or bull, those under which they began to plow, stars of the lion, those under which that animal, driven from the desert by thirst, appeared on the banks of the Nile, stars of the sheaf, or the harvest virgin, those of the reaping season, stars of the lamb, stars of the two kids, those under which these precious animals are brought forth. Thus, the same Ethiopian, having observed, which I failed to mention from the beginning, that the first law of the natural creation, first law of the scientific method, when you're going into science class, the first law is observation. You have to begin to observe these things, which I talked about, but I didn't bring it like I want to bring it now. When we observed everything that was around us. So thus the same Ethiopian, having observed that the return of the Nile corresponded with the rising of beautiful stars. In other words, we were able to study all this, and we developed the whole zodiac that we study today. We African people developed Leo the lion and Sagittarius and Aquarius and Libra and Leo and all the other stars that were in the sky through observation. You see, the Creator gave us a mind, but he also gave us a mind's eye. You can see something. First of all, you see it with your eye, and then it reflects into your mind. So we were able to observe everything in the natural environment, and were able to develop science and art and architecture and engineering and et cetera.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. We're going to go to the lines in just a minute. So to prepare you for that, if you're interested in talking to Dr. Bruce or asking a question, the number is 845-277-9250. We're in our online classroom, right? We're talking about the African mind and the natural creation, how it started and how we got to basically where we are now. So we're going to go to the lines. Dr. Bruce, are you ready?
Yeah, let me just make one quick point. I am ready, but let me make one quick point. Even when you look at the early, and Brother George always likes me to talk about this, so I don't want to disappoint him. But even when you look at the origins of the Western system of education, which begins in what is known as the nursery school, that can be traced back also to the natural creation. The source of nurse, N-U-R-S-E, which forms the root of nursery school, is the Latin word nature, N-U-T-R-I-R-E, nature, which also gives the English word nourish. Now, also, although the word nature originally means suckle, S-U-C-K-L-E, it was later generalized to mean feed, nourish, and look after. So nursery is associated with children as well as young plants. There are plant nurseries, for example, and those are especially familiar to anyone who knows anything about caring for plants. And so when we look at the growth and development of plants in the natural world, and when we look at the growth and development of children, they both come through a nursery. They have to be nourished. They have to be fed. They have to be developed. And so Frederick Froebel, who was a German educator, he founded the whole Western kindergarten system. And Froebel, when he did this, the word kinder, for the word kindergarten, is a German word which means the children, kinder. Kind, kinder, related, relationships. Kinder is a German word which means children. And garden, kindergarten, G-A-R-T-N, is a German word that means garden. So the kindergarten is the children's garden. So Froebel's theory was that a teacher or parent should cooperate with nature and guide the physical, mental, and spiritual function of the child as these impulses developed. So we learned that he studied it by looking at the children's garden. And then when we look at our development after you leave nursery school and the kindergarten, then you go to the primary grades. Primary means first, primary first. And then after you leave the nursery or the kindergarten and go to the primary, and then you go to the secondary schools, which is the second level of your development, and then after you go to the secondary level, you finish high school and you go to college, and college comes from the word colle, C-O-L-L-E, which is a collection, and college is just a collection of what you learned in secondary. And in primary school and everything you learned before, it comes together and you get the word like collage, which is a beautiful piece of art, which is a collection. So then you go to the college. And then when you really grow and develop your mind, you go beyond the college and you go to the university. And that means you begin to study the whole universe and everything around you. You see, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's really the development of the human mind in the Western system of education, from the nursery or the kindergarten to the primary to the secondary to the college, university, and then to the university.
All right. Thank you so much. Wealth of information. Again, if you want to talk to Dr. Bruce, 845-277-9250. I'll say it slower, 845-277-9250. We're going to go to the lines now. And what I would do is call the last four of your phone numbers that's on the deck here. And we're going to start with 7510. 7510. Welcome to the show. You're with Dr. Bruce and Marvin Rowan on the Empowerment Hour, along with Dr. George as well. And where are you calling from, sir, ma'am?
Calling from Bull City, Durham.
All right. Welcome, sir. You have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce?
Yeah, I want Dr. Bruce to tie in the concept of my art to all of what he said thus far.
All right.
Okay, my art. Thank you for your call too, brother. My art is, of course, a comedic term that means truth and justice, and that's another whole lecture. But just briefly, just to give you a little information on it, everything that we study or that we learn in the natural creation is based upon truth and justice. When the planets begin to move around the sun, as the Earth does, at a speed of 1,037 and one-third miles per hour, that's the speed that the Earth spins on its axis. When it spins around when the Earth spins around the sun at that rate of speed, that's a natural speed, that's truth, that's justice, that was set up by the Creator. That cannot change. No human being on Earth can change that. Nobody can alter it. Nobody can make it become something else. Nobody can take it out of its natural orbit or its natural path. And that's the same way it is with ancient African knowledge. If it's built upon truth, or Maat, as it was called, truth and justice, or Maat, then, of course, it can't be tampered with. But what has happened is many of the ideas that we have learned as a people in this society and anywhere else we are in the world have been tampered with by Europeans, by Africans, by people all over the planet. They've tampered with the Maat. They've tampered with the truth. They tamper with the justice and the righteousness that the Creator built everything, and that's why the world is in shambles today, because people have tampered with what we have with what has been set forth and put into motion by the Creator. It has been tampered with, and that's the problem. The airplane, for example, came from people studying the bird. The submarine came from people studying the whale as it went under the great miles and waters of the Earth. They studied the whale and came up with the submarine, and they studied the elephant and came up with the tanks. And when Hannibal crossed those mountains, people had studied what was already in the natural creation. So as long as you don't tamper with nature, everything is okay. But we live in an artificial, foreign, concocted, made-up kind of mindset that we have today, and it's not based on truth. It's not based upon reality, you see. So anyway, I don't want to go off into that. I'll let you go, and we'll talk a little more about that a little later on.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce, and thank you for calling. I'm going over to 0316, 0316. You're live on the Empowerment Hour with Dr. Bruce. Do you have a question or comment? Where are you calling from?
Yes. I'm calling from Maryland. Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Okay. I just appreciate the delivery that Dr. Bruce Bridges has given. Everything is very clear. He's explaining everything so that the kindergartner can understand. One quick question. You did mention something in Chapter 1 about religion, and I wanted to know if you could tell us the difference between African religion and spirituality, African spirituality, which you also mentioned in Chapter 2.
Right. Okay. And the sister knows that's also another lecture. But anyway, religion, whichever one it may be, comes from the minds of human beings. The religion does, but spirituality is found in cooperation and in connection with nature and what was already put here around us. When we saw certain things happening in nature, when we saw plants growing, and when we saw water in the lakes and the rivers moving, when we heard the wind blowing, and all these things made us very close to nature, and it actually inspired our natural spirituality. But human beings created religion, whichever one it may be, religion. And religion, if you look at the origin of the word religion, it comes from the word re, R-E, which means again, and legion, L-E-G-I-O-N, from the word ligare, which means to line up or to get back in order. And you see that same word in your car. When your car is pulling to the right or pulling to the left, it's a front end. You need an alignment, a religion, realignment, align, same word, religion, word part, ligare, which means to bring back and to put back into order. So religion means to realign things back again, because human beings had strayed away from the natural path upon which we should have been moving and growing and developing and progressing. But when they strayed away from the natural path and strayed away from what the Creator had designed for us to do, then there were men who were sent with a religion to realign this crazy man and woman that was breaking away from what he had been taught or set up to do, which is another story. Like I said, we can't go into it all the way. So therefore, you had a Buddha. He was realigned. You had Confucius. You had Muhammad. You had Jesus. And so that's basically it. But man had to be put back, and woman had to be put back onto the proper path. And that's where religion came. Okay, Brother Mom, we can keep on moving if you want to, my brother.
All right, Dr. Bruce. We're listening live to the Recapturing the African Mind series with Dr. Bruce Bridges. And we're talking about the African mind and the natural creation. We're going to go over to 0433. 0433, welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Durham, North Carolina.
Yes. Hi, well, welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce?
I just want to thank him for the vast knowledge that he is sharing and pouring out. I'm very appreciative of spending this hour with you, sir. That's it.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's go over to 9872. You're with Dr. Bruce and Marvin Rohn, Recapturing African Mind. Do you have a question or comment? 9872.
Hello?
Yes, welcome to the show. Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Marvin, and greetings to you and Dr. George, and especially my friend, Dr. Bruce Bridges. I have both a comment and a question. They're actually unrelated. The comment is that I highly recommend the reading of King James Version of Exodus chapter 3, which, in my opinion, defines what I believe that the fact is the name of the Creator, the spiritual Creator of the universe, is I Am. That reference is Exodus, King James Version, chapter 3. The full reference is verses 11 through 17. The specific reference is, or are verses 13, 14, and 15. All of the names that are referred by the spiritual Creator are indicated in verses 13, 14, and 15. Please read them for yourself and your understanding. My question is, in 1909, an organization was formed called the NAACP. The C stands for colored. In this generation, people of color are recognized as being non-European Caucasians. However, the word colored has gone through various renditions. In other words, we were colored, we were Negroes, we were African Americans, became black, but I've never had the color black on my skin. I'm brown skin. My question is, what is the proper name? And I'm not from Africa. If I want to leave the country, I will go to Jamaica. I've been there twice, and I would love to move there. But what is the current proper name for those of us who are descended from the nation of Africa? That's all I have to say. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, Brother Marvin?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
All right. That brother brought up some very good points there. As a matter of fact, there are several names, and the more you begin to study, the more you find there are several names for that particular continent. Of course, there are some people who call it Elkebulan, Alkebulan, as Dr. Ben has called it, and then some people call us that we're, you know, from Elkebulan, and some people refer to us as Moors, and that the whole continent, it was called Ethiopia. Drusilla Houston in her book calls the whole continent Ethiopia. So I'm not quite settled myself to answer the question, quite honestly, in terms of what it was actually called, because there are so many names that have been found to be the origins of that landmass that we call Africa. And Jay Rogers in his book even talks about the fact that the whole earth was called Ethiopia. The whole continent of Africa, pardon me, was called Ethiopia, the Ethiopic continent, you see. So there are many names that have been put forth for the name of that particular continent called Africa. And as a matter of fact, I was doing some research the other night, and this is another story, because there's so much new information that's being brought forth due to the advent of the internet and people studying and finding older books, that even the word America goes back to another word, not to the Vespucci that we've heard of, but from another word that was called A-M-A-R-A-C-A, America, which the people were called in this particular part of the earth before Europeans ever even came over here. So it's just so much more information just to answer that and to not to belabor the point, Brother Marvin.
All right. Thank you. Let's go on over to 1688. 1688, you're live with Dr. Bruce. You have a question or comment? All right. Let's try 8502.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, and greetings to you and to Brother Bruce Bridges. I just like to make a comment that if you have a diesel car with a diesel engine, you have to put diesel fuel in it. If you put gasoline in it, the car won't run right because it's not designed for that. So when you take African people and put European concepts in them, we can't function properly.
Right.
So when we have to recapture our African minds and you start to put the right African information into African people, then we can function the way the Creator designed for us to function.
Good comment, brother. In other words, he's saying we've been running the wrong kind of gas, right, my brother?
There you go. And that's why we've been running. That's why we haven't been running properly, not functioning properly, and acting crazy, and not being able to get along with each other and other things like that. But when we come back to our Africanness, now we can come back to a cohesion and work together and trust each other and understand who our enemies and what our problems are.
All right.
Good point.
Thank
That's why,
sir.
I'm glad Brother Marvin takes these phone calls, because, hey, it takes a village. He came up with something real good, that brother Marvin. We've been putting the cheap gas, the 86 and 87 that we should have been putting in high tests. And that's why we're not running right. To make it clear, right, brother?
All right. Hey, let's slide over to 0673. 0673, you're live with Dr. Bruce. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I got a comment. This is Brother Kevlar. I'm always
brother.
Honored to listen to Brother Bruce. And I consider even though I'm in my late 60s, I still consider myself a student of Bruce Bridges. I just make a comment. Africa is everywhere. And from the Bible, Acts 7:22, it says Moses learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Didn't say some. It said it learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians. That's Acts 7:22. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, I have not come to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill them. And Moses was a prophet. Then Revelation 3:14, and a student gave this to me when I was working at Juvenile Corrections. He said, turn to Revelation 3:14. It says, Amen was the true witness and the beginning of the creation of God. It's spelled A-M-E-N. But if you study African history, then you would know that A-M-E-N was once A-M-O-N. Now, that's my contribution. Now, I let Brother Bruce handle the questions. I just make the comments. Like Brother Bob.
All right, thank you.
Let me speak.
Thank you, brother. All right. Anything you want to add to that, Dr. Bruce?
No. We can just keep it moving if you want to, brother. We got any more calls? If not, I can continue on.
All right. 8177. 8177, you're live with Dr. Bruce. Do you have a question or comment? 8177.
Some, I guess, want to just listen, like Brother George said, huh?
Yeah.
That's good, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So we're talking about recapturing the African mind, and we're talking about the recapturing the African mind series. And so we're doing an online lecture series to educate our people. And Dr. Bruce, before we go to the next call, why, again, is this information so important to our people?
All right. It's as important as it is, as the other caller said, in terms of making us run properly, make our engines run properly, or our lives run properly when we know who we are and we put the right stuff in us. And it goes back to the whole idea of to be inspired and to learn and to grow and to develop and to understand that we have been tricked as a people. Very few of us, a lot of us do, I guess, don't know that we have actually, we've been tricked, I mean, tremendously. And it's so subtle sometimes, because if we think about our growing up and the books that we read, and we think about the television programs that we watched, and the glorification of European culture in every aspect of our lives, it just takes it takes over us as a people, and we're just lost. But if someone can ever get to us and make it clear to us that we are lost, and to try to bring us back into the proper fold, it would make all the difference in the world. As a matter of fact, as Marcus Garvey used to say, I hope Brother Cimarron is listening too. I don't know if he's on today or not, but Marcus Garvey always talked about the fact about how we as people, when you know who you are, it makes you a different person in the world today. It makes you stand up straighter and hold your shoulders back and not to be afraid to speak up to anyone or to question anything in the system or in the society. But we have been broken as a people. We've been totally destroyed. As Elijah Muhammad, you say, we've been robbed of everything that we originally possessed, from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. And so when we get back into knowing who we were and the culture and the heritage that we came from, it would make all the difference in the world. I mean, that's another whole lecture within itself, but it really makes us a different people on the planet.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. And again, we're online. This is our online classroom. It's a great platform for learning. Again, it's the education piece, culture and education for the NAAEA tenants. And so what we want to do is continue to inspire you to do your research, to learn, to grow, and to change and become productive in your lives. And information like this helps you to find that confidence to say we've created some things and you have that in your genetics. I'm going to go over to 0946. 0946, you're live with Dr. Bruce. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment and a question. And one of the things I think that I'm understanding about recapturing the African mind is getting the adequate information. My challenge with that is that we do know that information does not cure conditioning or addiction. You can tell someone they know the information, but they are so addicted and so conditioned that they cannot change, and there has to be some experimental process to interrupt that for something to happen. So now that we're living in an information age and the system is steady feeding just garbage about who we are, what we're about, my question is, with that fact on the table, how do you capture the mind today that is so addicted to lies? You can be telling them the truth, and they don't believe you because they're so conditioned by this racist system. And so I know that most of the time when we have an experience, then we have an appetite for a truth. And this generation is so dulled out and so nulled out that there is no appetite. So my question is, how do we today interrupt this conditioning and this mental addiction to garbage about who the system has fed us in, that the system has fed us as to who we are? So that's my question.
I like what the sister said, too. I have to remember that one, too, sister. I don't know who you are, but when you said the addiction and the conditioning, addiction and condition, that's very good. And it just made me think about the fact that in order to do this, when you do it scientifically, they say something has to be sent out or come forward to interrupt these lies and this condition and this artificial type information and this addiction that we have. And I'm thinking that if the more we can begin, when something happens, and if you notice it doesn't last, but when something happens like the murder of George Floyd or Trayvon Martin, when something happens like Ahmaud Arbery down in Georgia, and Sandra Bland in Texas. When these things begin to happen, it appears to me that people become more open to hearing the truth and wanting to know when things happen. Now, we would say that it might be somewhat severe, I guess you might say, for that to happen, but it looks like something has to happen to us, and I hate to say it, but something has to happen to us terribly and then make us begin to just, something has to smack us in the head to make us just begin to wake up and say, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And that doesn't happen, but every now and then we forget and we go back to sleep. And I think because we're fighting in a system, and it is very difficult, as the sister said, to get through to people because of this conditioning and these addictions that we have for lies and falsehood. And so, hey, we just have to just keep on plugging and putting the information out and repeating it over and over and over again, and people keep hearing it. And this is why I said a few weeks ago when I was talking to a friend who I don't think he understood, I was trying to say that you have to, every chance you get, as Frederick Douglass says, every chance you get, you have to strike a blow at injustice. You have to strike a blow at unrighteousness. You have to strike a blow at things that are incorrect to straighten it out. Sometimes it might not be the proper time or the proper place, but somehow you have to try to navigate yourself or work it in to begin to wake our people up, because it is, as she said, difficult, but we just have to keep on trying and plugging and do as much as we can. And I must say, you're going to receive a lot of you're going to run up into a lot of obstacles. You're going to get a lot of challenges in your life when you do it. There are people who are not going to like you, who are going to look upon you being very negative for bringing up certain kinds of things at certain times. But we have to take a stand and say that every chance I get, even though I know we're at the table right now eating turkey and cranberry sauce, but let me just try to bring in this whole idea of the fact in 1621, when the first Thanksgiving was held, Africans were brought here in 1619, so 2 years later, we weren't up at the table with the pilgrims eating turkey and cranberry sauce and sweet potato pie. Let me figure out a way to get this to my people at this particular celebration or at this particular time. And it takes a lot of creativity, and it's very difficult to do. But I'm just a firm believer, and I know I'm going to just die because I've always done it, whether people like it or not. You just have to try to bring it forth as every chance that you get. As Frederick Douglass says, agitate, agitate, agitate. And men who profess to favor freedom and yet deprecate agitation are like men and women who want the crops, but they don't want the plow. They want the rain, but they don't want the thunder and the lightning. They want the roar. They want the waters of the ocean, but don't want the accompanying waters. I mean, don't want the waters that accompany that roar. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. And we have to keep demanding, keep agitating, kicking out, keep telling people, even though they'll get mad with you, they're going to cuss you out. But you got to, we got to do it. I mean, you know, but the sister's right. With all this addiction, I got to remember that, with all this addiction and this conditioning, it's very difficult. But we have to constantly strike a blow at foolish, crazy type teaching and information that we were in the system.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Again, you're listening to Empowerment Saturday, African-American Empowerment Saturday, Black Saturday, if you want to call it that. We're recapturing the African mind with Dr. Bruce and the natural creation. We got another caller on the line, 9116. 9116, you're live. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce?
I have a comment that pertains to a question.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show.
I like that comment that pertains to a question. That's a good one. Yeah, good one.
Yes, sir. So I'm just noticing, I look at the world like a chessboard. Once I learned chess, it really helped me to view the world, and it helped me to make my moves more efficiently in the world. So looking at the world, it seems as if like something might be about to happen. I'm noticing, like, rappers are connecting themselves to real street people, like street soldiers and, you know, all these different bunkers, like Brother Marvin shared the other day, are being created. The defamation of the dollar, it seems like America's own actions are, like, starting to really come back on them now. Like, capitalism was America's thing. It seems like everybody else is using capitalism against America now. Like China is on top of us when it comes to capitalism and deflating the dollar in that way. So I would just ask, what do you think, or what do you perceive that's going to happen, and what do you think we can do to prepare ourselves on a nation building level? Because I know there's a lot of nation building talk is going around. Prominent name, but I can't think of it right now. But he made a nation-building comment. Leader of Nation Islam. Yeah. Why can't I think?
Mr. Farrakhan?
Mr. Farrakhan?
Yes, indeed. He made a big nation-building comment as if something big's about to happen. So what do you think about all these big shifts of events and what's coming down the pipeline, and how can we prepare ourselves and be a nation, prepare for a nation, within a nation?
Okay, I didn't hear the comment that Brother – I didn't hear the comment that Brother Minister Farrakhan made, but, Brother, we just have to wait and see. There's a whole lot that's going on in the world today. One thing I have noticed, too, in terms of this whole Biden and Harris administration, and those of you who are tuned in, you mentioned Biden, in terms of what he's doing. If you recall, he said that one of the first things that he was going to work on when he came into office was white supremacy. I haven't heard him deal with it at all. But if you recall, he said that part of his agenda was going to be to work on trying to eradicate white supremacy in America. I haven't heard that yet. Maybe some of the other callers or people who are calling in or want to make comments might have heard something. I don't know. But so that's just kind of how I see it now. Yeah, that's just kind of how I see it. But he hasn't dealt with that at all. And until you deal with that, we're going to have the same situation going on now that we've had ever since we've been country. And you can see it in every aspect of our lives. And that's why I say that we have to strike a blow against injustice every chance that we get. We have to strike a blow at injustice every chance that we get. Because if not, nothing will ever change. Nothing will ever change. Never.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. 845-277-9250. We're recapturing the African mind with Dr. Bruce. We got another call coming up. 2137. You're live on the Empowerment Hour. Dr. Bruce Marvin Rohn. Do you have a question or comment?
Kind of both.
All right. Welcome to the show.
How you doing? I'm calling from Indiana. Dr. Bridges know me from Elizabeth City State University, where I attended when I was in college. And I just want to say he's doing a wonderful job. I've always had great respect and admiration for him and being a historian. And we just have to know who we are as people and knowing our history. And one of the things I've been studying more and more is the history of the Moors. And a good friend of mine is another historian, Brother Sabir Bey, and they're supposed to be having a new movie coming out, Heavy as the Crown. I think that'll be a good movie for people to watch and see.
Mm-hmm.
And that book, Recapturing the African Mind, I read years and years ago, well over 15 years ago, when Dr. Bridges gave that book to me. So that's an excellent book, and I salute you, sir, for the work that you have done and continue to do.
Is this Brother Philip?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Brother Philip from out in Indiana, right?
Yes, sir. Gary, Indiana.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad you got my message and called in today, too. And I also tried that number for Brother Justice. My number had changed. I tried to reach him, but an African sister answered the phone. But I tried to reach out to him, too. So I just want to let you know, maybe when you get a chance, get me a good number for him. But I appreciate you calling in, I'm glad you're liking the lecture. And I'll be on again week after next doing –
okay.
You know, continuing on with the book, Recapturing African Mind. Have you heard the whole show today, or just picked a part of it, or most all of it, or what?
Just picked a little part of it.
Okay. But we're on every Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, one
all right,
thing,
thank
Brother
you, sir,
Philip,
for calling. Thank you, Brother Philip. Anything else you want to add before we move on?
I just want to say we just got to pay attention to the times and make sure that we're taking care of our health, we're exercising, and really pushing meditation and getting back to our spiritual selves that are within us. and stop getting fooled by propaganda. That's another good book to read is Propaganda. And there's a lot of propaganda that's going on in the world.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. We're going to swing it over to Brother George. Brother George, open for comments now. We thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. I wanted to give a point of view on, you know, the idea of how do we get, you know, certain information to into our people to change them. And I'm going to use the segment that I do, you know, every other week now, the Willie Lynch letter. A part of the Willie Lynch letter that stuck in my mind the most was Willie Lynch gave a warning to the slave masters. And he said that the one thing you have to be careful of, never expose them to their history, because the human mind has a funny way of shifting back to what it once was. To me, that was the key to our people, exposure. And I want to give an example. I was asked to speak at a basketball camp to some younger kids. I was asked to speak to everybody, but I only ended up speaking to the younger kids. So my age group was from 8 to 10 and from 10 to 12. So the first day I spoke, I talked to the kids. You know, the second day, the room was full. Their parents were there. All the coaches were there. Everybody was there to hear me speak the second day. The funny thing, I spoke on the Moors and the conquest of the Iberian Peninsula and how it occurred. The brother that invited me told me that when they had the cookout, that those little kids in the projects were running around talking about the Moors. And so I knew then, he said, Brother George, you don't know what you did for them. I said, what you mean, you know? He said, man, them little kids was running around talking about we have 6,000 and they have 40,000. And they have remembered detailed information that I told them. And I knew then that he was right. And so what I try to do is I try to give our people some information on life skills first until I get their confidence. Then I could tell them about some of our history. So that's my approach. And back to you, Brother Mark.
All right. Thank you. We're just about out of time. I see one more call. I'm going to try to slide in here. We got 2 minutes left. 1688, you're live. You got questions for Dr. Bruce?
Hotep, Dr. Bruce, and your host and the listening audience. This is Barry from Queens.
Oh, Brother Barry. All right.
All right. We got a minute left.
Okay. There's two sayings that I always remember when it comes to our history. One is a proverb from the African saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And the other one was Cardi B. He says, if you could tell a man to think he's inferior, you won't have to let him go through a back door. He'll go without being told. And if there's no back door, the very nature will demand one. And I kind of always remember those when I see a lot of our people out here now just doing things that they don't know what they're doing. They're just doing anything everybody else is doing. You know, like in Africa, they use more bleach and cream than anywhere else in the world. And like you saying about in Jamaica, they be singing Christmas carols and never seen a drop of snow in their life. And you know, wearing blonde wigs and stuff in the court. You know, so that's all I got to say.
All right.
Thank you,
brother.
Calling, Brother Barry. Really appreciate that.
All right. Any final words? We got 45 seconds, Dr. Bruce. He'll be back on February the 5th. Thank you for joining us. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Yes, I want to thank all of our callers, Brother Barry, for calling in and for being a part of the program and stick with us, because we're going to continue on into chapter one of Recapturing the African Mind, then we're going to move on into chapter two. But I do want to say, as Brother Stephen Biko said, the most important weapon in the hands of the conqueror or the colonizer is the mind of the oppressed. The most important weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of...
All right. Next week, y'all. Peace and blessings.